Colossians chapter 3. Chapter 3 in the book of Colossians. This is the instructions to how the Christian family functions together. Marriage, now parenting, children with their parents, parents to the children. And you remember last time we looked at God's command to children. They are to obey their parents in all things. And children and young people, you remember it's that you hear under, you listen, you hear what dad says, you hear what mom says, and you obey it, you do it. That was the truth that Paul gave us in verse 20 of Colossians chapter 3. Well, now Paul turns his attention to the fathers. Depending on which translation, it's either 9 words or 10. And some of the other translations get a little wordy, but the thrust of it is a command to fathers, and yes, mothers, but there's some uniquenesses here about him addressing the fathers, and I'll touch on that as we go on. So in a sense, brothers, this is for you fathers, this is a month early Father's Day teaching, preaching, and for the mothers, it's a week early. Hopefully it'll come with fresh reality and grace by the power of God. 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Turn back a few pages to the Ephesians parallel text that you remember we go back to, Ephesians 6, verse 4. Paul has the same kind of theme on his heart when he was writing the Christians in Ephesus. And Paul says, chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Let me pray briefly. Father, thank you for the reality of being parents, the truth, the grace of God, the redemptive purposes of God, and husbands and wives having sons. Thank you, Lord, that there are so many truths in your word about being parents and about training children. So help us today to behold with fresh faith and joy and submission what you speak to us. Speak to us now. Let your word have its full course. Let your spirit reign over the hearts of all of us for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. This past Tuesday, I was having lunch by myself, and I had my phone with me, and I was pondering the youngest grandson that Krista and I have that's in Bethany's womb. This will be her first child, and I had a picture. There was some dramatic events on Monday about the first sonogram that would determine if it was a boy or girl. After all the drama, I had that picture saved, right, that sonogram picture. So I'm sitting by myself at lunch, and I pulled that out, and I'm looking at him. And I'm having incredible thoughts, you know, because the sonograms today are really crisp, or you can see features. And I was looking at that little bitty boy, and I was moved by it. Somebody might have been watching in the restaurant could have been kind of struck by how I was gripped, and so I couldn't resist, but I decided to send my son-in-law, Caleb, the father, a very brief text message and send him the picture, sonogram picture of that little bitty boy in the womb. Well, it didn't take Caleb long to respond. He said something to this effect, I never knew such a little bitty guy would improve my praying so much. Of course, me being an older guy, I thought to myself, oh, Caleb, fatherhood will change you profoundly, so get ready. So get ready. I meant it from my heart. Isn't that right, fathers? The change, think of it. The change, the way the grace of God comes in the responsibility and the awesome weight of those things to be a father, to be a mother. And you mothers know these very things. Because it is big. It's big in God's purpose. It's His gift. Children are a heritage of the Lord, right? And so when you talk about parenting, when you talk about children, sons and daughters, you talk about sonograms, you have to say God-centered about it. It's about the glory of God. He gives children. He gives life. If He lets that little boy develop and come to full term and is born and lives. But for Christians, parenting, like marriage that we've looked at a few verses earlier, parenting should have a very distinct gospel testimony, right? Or said another way, the Lord Jesus Christ should be evident in our lives as fathers and mothers. I mean, He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He rules our lives, all that we're about. He has purchased us, redeemed us to Himself. And therefore, to be a father or to be a mother is to be under Him and teaching them, the little ones, as they grow up, and to be influenced and to be shaped and to be corrected as a father by the truths of being in Christ Jesus. That's ultimately, Paul is speaking to the Colossian Christians in these very realities. So in this one great verse, Paul is emphasizing, and really with force, saying to the men and to the women, but here to the fathers, be careful or handle your children carefully. That's what he's saying. Handle them carefully. And I'm not just talking about carrying the little bundle around, right? I'm talking about the nurturing and training of sons and daughters. Now, I don't know if you've heard this recently, fathers and mothers, parents, but you're the most important influence on your children. Perhaps ever that they'll ever have. You are the most important influence on your children. And you are the first ones that sing to them these songs that we were singing and speak to them out of the glorious passages from God's Word. You are that person. You are that man. You are that woman. And so by God's grace, walk in it carefully. Be a good steward with your sons and daughters. So much is depending upon you by the grace of God in you. And so I'm hoping a fresh look at this command today, because it is a command, clearly. Paul is commanding these things to the Christians in Colossae. These are things that he's telling, fathers, don't do this. Be careful. And so hopefully today, the great responsibility that you have, that I have as a father, we will be strengthened or bolstered in the realities of what we are about. So you brothers, you fathers, be encouraged today in how you lead your children, you men. For you mothers, for you sisters in the faith, be encouraged today in how you nurture your children. Be encouraged. This is about grace. This is about God's Word strengthening His people. This is about God washing us afresh and bringing fresh realities and truths to how we walk. And we need it. We need it. I've been a father for going on 37 years. So, and still, each day, I learn. And it can be hard today, these truths, what Paul hits head on here in verse 21 can be hard. But we need to be washed. We need to be corrected. We need to be helped as men and as women. So let's go back to verse 21. Verse 21, in those 9 or 10 words, depending on which translation, if you're in the ESV or NASB or the King James, the verse has two real things to it. It has a command and it has a warning. If we don't hear the command, we may fail what the warning results could be. And that's what Paul is getting at. And I'll put it a little bit more clearly as we go through this, hopefully by God's great help. So first, the command. Go back to the verse. It's really the same thing he said to the Ephesian Christians when he gave this command. Fathers, provoke not your children. And then it's added in some of the translations to anger. It's not necessarily, it wasn't necessarily in the original Greek, but he's saying, fathers, do not provoke your children. That's what he says. That's how direct he gets. Now, before we dive into this, notice again, just the fairness or the grace of God after a command to the children that they're to obey their parents. He doesn't say to the men, All right, men, govern them with a strong hand or with an iron hand. That's not what he says. Just like he said with husbands with their wives, after he's telling the wife to stay under their husband, he doesn't tell the men, now dominate your wives. He doesn't say that at all. The first thing he says to the wives is, to the husband is, love your wives. Here he says to the fathers, be careful. Yes, children are under their parents. It's clear. It's God's plan. It's been the plan since the beginning of Genesis. It's just God's purpose. But here, the command to the father is not about governing with strength. And I emphasize that because think of the beautiful balance of God's word, the truth of this. Fairness. You're not supposed to govern with an iron hand. He says, fathers, provoke not. It's actually, instead of it being a strong hand, it's a warning against the very thing. Now let's get to the context. I touched on this a few weeks ago when we talked about husbands and wives. Let's go back to the day that the Colossians lived in. It's often called the Hellenistic society. It's a society that was dominated by Rome, the Romans. If you ultimately look at it in the bigger world view of the time, and I remember I've told y'all at different times, going back to college days and going through architectural history and some of those classes, and Rome was big in its time period in the earth. And so we're talking about a time period where the Roman men and Roman way of life was dominant in the culture. So what does that tell us? Well, it tells you after you get past some of their grand accomplishments militarily, and architecturally, and in the arts, it tells you there's not much you can learn from Roman men, at the bottom line. If you dig in and do any real research, the day that they were in, that these Christians in Colossae were being saved out of those kinds of ways of thinking and cultural practices, and they were brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and it shifted their whole view in key areas. Fathers, according to the Roman men, were harsh so often. Now, you talk about ruling with an iron hand, almost literally. They ruled with great dominance over their children. And so it was prevalent all around. The Roman men and the Roman influences were spread wide and far. And so men and fathers could be wrongly influenced and had grown up seeing this. As I said a few weeks ago, the approach of many of the Roman men, most of them, was to dominate and to abuse their wife and children. Dr. John MacArthur even records some old antiquity history that the Roman men, a new baby could be brought to the Roman man, the father, and he could look at it before he ever touched it, and he could decide right there if he was going to pick it up or not. If he did not pick up the child, it was discarded. Nobody else got a vote. Now, that's extreme. That's extreme. So why does Paul go after this? Because he has to deal with the danger of what's all around them. And this abuse and this wrong use of authority was crushing and harmful to sons and daughters, to wives. The Romans called it patria potestas, which means the power of the father. Now, you might hear that in different manly statements in our day. But if it's ruled in dominance, if it's based in dominance, in being the big boss, then it's perhaps going to be corrupting at every level. I mean, the Romans, in this patria potestas, this power of the father, all it led to was the destruction ultimately, or the crushing of the family. I mean, if children conform, they conform because of their fear. But then back to the truth that we're talking about here in God's Word, to the Colossian Christians, to the Denton Christians, to the Christians throughout the world today. Paul says, and it's living and active today, he says, don't be like that. Do not provoke. It's not to be the case with Christian fathers. We are not to walk in that spirit. We're not to walk with that attitude. That's not what marks the Christian man that has been saved by Jesus Christ. You are different. Just like the husband was to relate to his wife differently. Can you imagine, as I said a few weeks ago, that wives never even heard in other types of teachings anything about a husband loving his wife? And then here comes the Christian ethic, the gospel of Jesus Christ saying, husbands, love your wives. It's essentially the same thing it's saying to the fathers. Love them. Don't provoke them. So Paul, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, is hitting head on the need of the Father in that day, and you know what, men? The need we have in our day. And that is to be careful in how you walk in your leadership, in your headship, over your family, over your children, how you discipline them. Much of what is being said here is probably rooted to the wrong types of discipline that Roman men would apply to their children. Cruelty, stuff that today would put them in prison. So, the word to the fathers, to Christian fathers, the warning. I mean, is Paul doing it for everyone's good? The good of the man, the good of the woman, the good of the children, right? I mean, for just a segue for a moment, the reason why Paul's hitting the man is because the man was such a dominant leader in the total of the home. I mean, obviously this passage and the passage in Ephesians applies to mother and father, but particularly the men. And so it is unique, and it is pointed at how men walk. But we know from the verse just before it's obey your parents in all things. Paul is ultimately acknowledging both the man and the woman. But so sisters, this is for you too, but it's particularly for us as men, as husbands, and here as fathers, and how a father conducts himself. He says, do not provoke. Do not provoke. Most of the translations that we use, all of us here, it uses that same English word, provoke, from the Greek. It's a strong word, isn't it? What comes to your mind when you hear the word provoke? Stir something up? That's what it means. I think of being a kid, young guy at Denton High School, and guys who would provoke trouble. I mean, I can think of a lot of other examples too, but I can really have flashbacks to 10th, 11th, and 12th grade thinking, whew, young men can't even just get out of their car and go to class without stirring things up, causing trouble, picking a fight. Words, conflict. But the word means to strive or to quarrel. Now, where is that in the Christian vocabulary? You get the answer on that, obviously. Provoke is this thing of stirring things up, quarreling, causing contention, causing hurt. And so Paul's getting at something really significant here to the Ephesus Christians, and here the Christians in Colossae. He says, do not stir up, strive, or quarrel with the children, with your young ones. Now, some of the other English translations, I always tell Lee that I have to guardedly say, when I look at the other 30-something translations in the English, I do it simply for broad understanding of what others say. And they say some strange things in their translations. But it was interesting to look at the different words used, and you'll see exasperate. I believe that's in the NASB, if somebody has that. To embitter, do not embitter your children. Do not exasperate your children. Do not irritate your children. It's strong language, isn't it? Men, it's speaking to us. You hear what it's saying? Be careful here. The word is talking about creating strife, creating a quarrel. This is a command. We're not to be about it. Christians in general are not supposed to go around causing trouble, right? It doesn't matter what your vocation is or what area of your life, in your marriage, at work, in your society at large. Christians are not troublemakers. They're not contentious. The gospel, the proclamation of the gospel will stir people up. But it's our spirit, when we're wrong, saying things we shouldn't say, that Paul is saying, don't do that. The gospel is the gospel, perfect and holy and glorious, and sinners won't want to hear it. But here, it's about how you interact with others, and particularly a father with his children. Do not provoke. All of these words, all of these meanings cause damage. They do cause damage. And they will for us, men. It's not easy for me, after all these years of parenting, to have to go back through this and study it, because I feel so many failures along the way. Even this week, I'm with you. If any of you men feel it and it hits real close to home, I understand. But it's God giving His Word to us. He is strengthening you men. He's strengthening you women. And He's telling us, don't go down the path of this provoking, stirring up. Yes, you have to speak authoritatively in your home. But when a father provokes or exasperates their children, it creates damage. It changes things. It changes things in the relationship, doesn't it? To provoke or to exasperate your children. You begin to lose any father that's trying to impact their children. If he's in that way of thinking and that's his attitude and his spirit, he begins to lose his children. They begin to drift and they begin to pull away. You know this? You've seen this? It's hard because what was intended to be a positive influence on the children, the father, the mother, particularly the father, speaking and correcting and holding the line and loving and guiding and all these glorious truths, all of a sudden, if he's in a spirit of provoking and exasperating and irritating his children, they're just pulling out. That's what Paul's getting at here. So the command is, don't go down that path. Forget the Roman men. That's only going to create distance. The child begins to shut dad out. Sometimes it's too late for us, for men. Men, the implication here is don't go there, and if you do hurt or if you do harm, you have to recover that. You've got to gain that ground back. You've got to walk in humility. It doesn't change with your authority in your home. It just changes your attitude and your spirit. And by the grace of God, if you have some of those things today or this week, let the Holy Spirit give you fresh grace with your children. Relate to them in love. The child needs to be coming towards you, not away. It can be permanent, can it? You see how fathers have handled their children. Can you imagine how many Roman young men grew up with absolute anger and bitterness and hatred to their parents, but they're to their dad? Their dad in particular, who had treated them that way, and then they go out and they do the same thing to others. But you see here the permanence, the danger of this not hearing this command is what begins to happen. They drift. I remember at high school some of the guys that were around that were in my time period who had already done this with their dad. It didn't matter what dad said anymore. They had cut him off. I had made reference, I told you children, 2 weeks ago about going to the prison and meeting those men, and over time they're beginning to say, I wish I had listened to my dad. I wish I had listened to my mother. And so in this case, you don't want to lose them. You want to bring them to you. If children disobey and don't listen, it's on them. But the point is, as a parent and as a father, you do not want to provoke and embitter and push away. I had friends that lost every bit of respect for their dad. He had no more voice in their life. And I was struck as a teenage young man how painful, how tragic that was. I could sense as a 17-year-old or as an 18-year-old, wherever I was at that point, I could sense that guy's fixing to wreck his life. And yet his dad was a key contributor to pushing him off. Think of it, men. Think of it, dads. How does it reflect the glory of our great and perfect Father in heaven? I mean, we're a type, are we not? And we speak the truth to our children, and we draw them with cords of love, and we correct them, and we chasten them, and all these things. But we have to follow the great one, God our Father and our great Savior, Jesus Christ. It's about bringing them and provoking and bitters them, and they get cut off. The command is to us not to do it. So brothers, be careful here. Be careful. Strong and steady. Masculine leadership is God's way. Not saying anything against that. I said strong, steady, consistent, masculine leadership is God's way. God speaks to men on that from beginning to end in the Bible. That's His way. And yes, this means that we have authority, and it means that we do discipline and correct, and it does mean that we hold the line, but it doesn't mean that we crush our children. We cannot and will not profit by doing that. They will not profit. Provoking children only ends with hard things. So you hear what I'm trying to say, and I'm just trying to bring emphasis to the thrust of Paul's command. Don't provoke. Don't exasperate the children, your sons and daughters. Hold the line. Be there. Be consistent. But don't provoke. Don't provoke. So here are some things, just briefly, on this first part, the command. Here are some very quick things I want to mention on this. Things that we can avoid that do provoke. our children. And I've learned, I've had to learn the hard way, as probably many of you, meaning I've seen mistakes and I let other things influence me and I have wrongly spoken or acted and it had to be recovered. What are some things that does lead to provoking? Be careful not to ridicule your children. Men, be careful not to ridicule your children. And we I think we all know what that means. It's one thing to have a fun spirit between you and your children. It's really fun to watch Mac with his children, his grown children at times, what they say to each other. And I love to interact, but that's something very different. That's a love language to children, when you can laugh and tease and say things. If you heard some of the funny things that Jesse and I say when we're outside, you go, those two guys, what's wrong with them? And we're laughing, but that's different. We're talking about ridiculing children, and that is provoking them. Can't make fun of them in a harsh way. Can you imagine what those Roman men, these Roman military, big bad dudes, used to say to their sons and daughters? Ridiculed them. Belittled them. Also be careful not to be overly critical. Overly critical. We have to be careful. We need the grace of God. We need to know how to speak a word. We need to know how to warn our children. We need to know how to walk in the Proverbs. My son, don't do that. You're not going to do that. My son, come this way. Those are exercising your authority, but being overly critical. I have some flashbacks again to my high school days of some dads that were just really hard on their sons. Be careful not to apply harsh punishment. Children have to be corrected. It's biblical. It's right. It's a sign of sonship. We have to be careful. You have to be careful, men. Don't apply harsh punishment. I'm not trying to define all the particulars of that because you can understand the principle here. The command is not to provoke, and harsh punishment exercised wrongly, like the Roman men, like big bully men in our generation, it provokes and irritates and crushes children. Dad doesn't have a voice anymore. Another way that provoking can happen is to diminish the efforts of children. To diminish their efforts, meaning that they never feel like they meet the mark, right? I'm grateful that my dad was so helpful in not doing that. You know, diminishing, in his case, encouraging. So brothers, so men, the command is clear. The command right here that Paul hits head on, both in Colossians and Ephesians, is do not provoke your children. Let it help you today. Let this truth. Because if you don't keep the command, and I'm already touching on this, what happens in the second part? There's a warning of what can happen. Lest they be discouraged. And in the Ephesians text, or they become wrathful. They become troubled. The language here is pretty clear in this word, discouraged. ESV uses that. The NASB uses this phrase. I thought this was quite good. So that they will not lose heart. Provoking. And this thing of exasperating children, they're just being completely dominated and handled in wrong ways. Eventually, they lose heart. That's the last thing as a Christian father or as a Christian mother you would want your children to feel around you, right? You want to feel like dad and mom are the number one fans, and they're number one fans in that they're teaching and correcting, but they're not crushing or provoking. So the warning is they can be discouraged. They can become completely and totally overwhelmed, and then they'll shift their loyalties to something else out there. Drugs, evil, you just fill in the blank. They lose heart because dad has handled them roughly. Discouraged. Man, fathers, beware. An overbearing authoritarianism can crush your child's spirit. I mean, I'm all for men that are steady and they hold the line and the children know the boundaries and the children are corrected in love. And that is biblical and it is right. But that's not what Paul's addressing here. Paul's talking about an attitude that crushes children, an overbearing, a wrong use of authority. It's wrong, as we all know, when police do what they're doing to people in our society. It's evident that it's wrong. Doesn't matter what skin colors we're talking about. The cruelty, because the authority that they're in, they should never treat people with cruelty, right? I mean, that's obvious, everybody. But the father of all things should not treat his children that way. He has an authority that God gave, and the children are under him to care for. He guards them. He corrects them, and he's building them. He's, in a sense, he's harvesting a garden with his children. That's what Paul is getting at here. But this thing of being taken authority, like a police officer that would treat people with such cruelty, who goes beyond his line, it's wrong. A father that goes beyond the line. He's brutal with his kids. The kid gets out of a sporting event. The father walks up and just flaps him up on the head. That was just great. You caused two interceptions, you idiot. Not us, men. You see, you understand what I'm saying now, right? That's the day we're in. You go to a high school football game this fall. You watch what happens. You listen to the wording of dad, sometimes mom. You watch him walk back to the car. I left Jalen's basketball game a year or two ago, junior high game, into the car. And it was just unbelievable, the correction by the dad and mom, what they were saying to the young girl about her game. Just making a scene was so wrong. You know, you probably would feel like I felt. You want to get in the middle of it. Hang on, dad and mom. Stop. But that's wrong. That's taking authority, and it's corrupting it or abusing it. Authority is a precious thing. It's God-given. We got to walk in it carefully, right? Now you know I'm looking at a little sonogram picture. I'm thinking, Caleb, you got a lot ahead. You're going to be praying from now on because you need grace. You need the right spirit. You need the Holy Spirit's grace to lead you and give you words that are helpful. All of these things. So otherwise, children become discouraged, defeated, if you want to say that. That's the warning. The command is don't do this or this will happen. If you want to believe in cause and effect, well, you can camp out a little bit here. You do this, fathers, and you may get this. And it may be really, really tragic what happens. With overbearing authoritarianism. Now, a heavy-handed father may not even realize it. He may not. But a Christian man who has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he should be sensitive to these things because he has a Father and a Savior that's loving him and lovingly bringing him along. So what we're experiencing there should be flowing out here, right? It's just the reality of things. Ultimately, to provoke and to discourage children and them going away, we lose their ear for the gospel. That's the ultimate tragedy. Because if that man is supposed to represent Jesus Christ and all of his glory and his gospel, and yet the child is being pushed away through techniques of fathering, the child connects the gospel to his being a father. Man, I obviously don't need any of that. You understand what I'm trying to say. It can happen to either a father or a mother, right? You begin to lose them and it drift, and so there is no more gospel influence, no more redemptive influence. It's the last thing we want to have happen. Again, thinking of John MacArthur, I went back and found this story, but he tells a story, true story, that he went to meet and see a young woman who was in the hospital, and she was mentally failing. Young woman, probably by this time, late high school or early college days. And she was talented. She had accomplishments. She had been successful. Really, if you look at what all she had accomplished by that age, it was kind of staggering. When you go back and look at it. And yet, Dr. John MacArthur has to go to the hospital and be with her. But even though she had all these talents and she had all these accomplishments, her mother was ceaseless in pushing her in everything. It's her mother in this case. Mother was pushing this and pushing this. And the daughter was defeated. They were discouraged. It gets worse. Finally, the daughter had a complete mental collapse. Just couldn't hold up anymore. I can't meet the standard. And she was eventually released from the hospital. But she went back into the same demanding environment. She could not cope. And shortly thereafter, she committed suicide. Because something that started here just kept going. She had said to Dr. MacArthur, quote, "I don't care what it is I do, it never satisfies my mother." Now that's sad, isn't it? That is sad. That is tragic. But trust me, men all around you do this kind of stuff all the time. They provoke and therefore they discourage or defeat the child. I've already referenced this. Think about it in sports. In sporting events. What men say, how they make fun of their children or their sons, and that they're not this and they need to be this and they weren't this. As best I understand it, the story about the guy who wrote the song, right? It's about Bart, whatever his last name is. I can only imagine. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do know his dad did these same things to him from what I understand as a boy, as a young man, trying to make him a football player. You got to be a big bad man to be a football player. They'll go together. You see, it happens all the time. You got to measure up to this, and then it becomes belittling and critical. It's tragic. Men do this in their terms they use with their sons about not being tough enough, whatever that means. Boy, I've heard that. I see men through the years. I've met men that are still under that bondage, that shadow, if you will, that defeat. And only the gospel of Jesus Christ brings them to life. I mean, they're completely defeated. Sometimes fathers do this by telling their kids about their career or lack thereof. You don't make enough money. So you see, men, if you start looking at it in particulars and day to day, week to week, it can show up in a lot of ways. And it is dangerous because the spirit of provoking and irritating leads to discouragement and defeat. When I was a boy growing up, Dad coached us in baseball. And I was a pitcher some. And Dad got a little bit more anxious during those days when I was a pitcher because he didn't want to say as much. He was a rah-rah kind of a coach. But I remember thinking, that's not saying as much right now. Sitting over there pretty quietly against that dugout because his son's on the mound. But I can promise you what he said to me was huge in me keeping my frame of mind right. He was not criticizing me. He wasn't saying, "That was a stupid outside pitch, son. That would do nothing for an 11 or 12-year-old pitcher," right? It's obvious. He was speaking to me at the appropriate moments to help me, not to discourage. And so I was learning from him. And when things get tough and two men are on base and the game's close, and I'm thinking, I may blow this. I'd look over there at him. He'd smile and he'd go, like, "You're fine. Just do what you do." Now, there are sometimes in the English language of mannerisms that can speak volumes, and at that moment, it was speaking volumes. It was anything but discouraging to me. It was helpful. It was needed. It was a word or a sign I needed right then. Keep going. Keep going. That's the antithesis of what Paul's getting at here. To discourage children is you've already just discarded them, like the Roman man who looks at the child and says, "Nah, not that one." And they take them away, and they're discarded. No, not for the Christian man. You think of it, this thing of discouraging. If there's a spirit for fathers where they're rough, rigorous, cruel, it saddens the child, it intimidates the child, it smothers the child, it hardens the child, and in the end, everyone loses. It does not represent the gospel of Jesus Christ. So much for the Roman man of power, right? Out with that. They may have got a few buildings right, may have conquered a few wars here and there, but as a whole, they messed up big time in marriage and parenting. Corrupt. Anybody has the courage to dig in and go back and look at it. That attitude, that spirit, the very spirit that Paul is countering here, that the gospel of Christ brings us into a whole new reality, right? All things become new. Being a husband, being a father, being a friend, being a person in society. All things become new. That's where he's going. That's what he's getting at. So the command is to not provoke. The warning is what could happen. But what about the Christian? I want to finish our time here on a positive note because we just read a few minutes ago in the Ephesians text, Paul adds to that about warning, the command. he says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. ESV is discipline and instruction. Not provoking, not discouraging children, but bring them up in the discipline, nurturing, and the admonition, instruction of Christ Jesus. I want to finish our time, men, on this. Yes, sisters, I want you to listen. These truths are for you too, but I want the men to really take hold of these again, that these would build you up. These are the truths to walk in to keep you from the things Paul has already commanded and warned about. Number one, as a Christian father, you spend your time and energy encouraging your children. You spend what you're about encouraging your children, building them, guiding them, speaking into their life, sitting at a dugout, making hand signals, whatever it is. You're about an ethic that's building up your children day in and day out. Yes, I understand children are born as sinners. You don't just sit around and wait until they're converted. They need to hear the gospel. Our prayer, children, is all of you come to Jesus Christ. But you have to hear us. You have to hear what we say. And that's what we need to be about, encouraging and speaking into our children's lives. Words of wisdom. Words that God gives. God gives us a bounty to work from, doesn't he? To teach from, to instruct our children from. So if a Christian father, his time and his energy with his children are about encouraging his children. That is completely opposite about provoking. He speaks the truth to them. That's what's happening. He's creating a dialogue. He's creating a give and take with them. Children have questions, and children bring up topics, and there's big topics. It's a very different topic that a 4-year-old deals with versus a 14- or 15-year-old, right? There are big topics in this society, big topics in this world. There's lots of evil out there. There's lots of music and lots of stuff out there and lots of technology. But dads and moms get to spend their time speaking the truth, sowing the seed, watering the seed, loving them. You get it? Spend your time and energy encouraging your children. Even this week, brothers, you might think consciously through the days and through the week, where are my sentences and my conduct going towards encouraging my children? And that includes encouraging your children to turn away from evil. I'm not being patsy here. I'm not just going, whatever you want to do, son and daughter. No. We're talking about speaking to your children in a spirit of encouragement and in the truth. That's a part of nurturing or disciplining, instructing. Second, a Christian father corrects and disciplines his children with their growth or their good in mind. Everybody get that? The Christian father, and certainly sisters, again, this applies to you. The Christian father corrects and disciplines his children with their growth in mind. 2 weeks ago, Jesse and I got out the pruning shears. I mean, we started pruning those fruit trees. We didn't tell Krista. I didn't want her to know what I'd cut off of them. It was a pruning that only dad and son got to do together. I'll tell you about it, babe, later today. She's going to know more details. All the evidence was taken care of. It was a good day, Jake. It was a very, very, very good day, and the trees are still going to be very fruitful. But you get the picture. We chuckle at that. The father is correcting and disciplining the child with their growth in mind. We want to see them advance. The same dad that was over there giving hand signals against that dugout, I can promise you it wasn't always hand signals. He was correcting and disciplining me in love. And now as an older man that's much more frail, when I come in to see him and have my times, sometimes I almost feel as those dads looking at me going, I'm glad I invested in you. I mean, it's deep. It's profound. I can feel it on him, and I can feel it with him, what he's invested in me in. Oh, beloved, this is real. This is life. This is truth. This will preach anywhere. This is good stuff. With their growth in mind, provoking and belittling crushes them, causes kids to go off into drugs and immorality and evil, theft, thievery and jail time and on and on and on. But if they listen, and if you as a father are correcting them in love, you're trying to bring them to yourself and you're trying to see them grow. Oh, man. I had a flashback to the John G. Payton, the first 40 pages. You ought to just get the first 40 pages. I know Brother Tim Conway, we want to read the other 400. I'm with you, brother. But I want you to read the first 40 because it's when John G. tells about growing up as a boy, one of 11 children. He's the oldest. Man, his dad in some ways becomes your hero in the whole book. You can't help it. If you read it, just read them. Just read his firsthand autobiographical writings. Page 17, Philip's on the airplane on page 17, and I'm about to lose it in a good way. Good way. It's emotional. It was glorious. Listen to this. This is a young man now reflecting over his childhood and his brothers. Three of the 11 became preachers of the gospel. Well, that's not an accident. God was in it. Think about this on discipline and correction. The very discipline, quote, the very discipline through which our father passed us was a kind of religion in itself. Man, I hadn't been thinking about this properly, about discipline as a type of religion. Listen, if anything really serious required for us to be punished, our dad first retired to his closet for prayer. And we boys got to understand that he was laying the whole matter before God. And that was the severest part of the punishment for me to bear. Dad's talking with God about this. Even to this day, sometimes I'll say to Krista, we just need some time. We just need what the Lord has us to do on this situation. But in this case, back to his quote, that was the severest part of the punishment for me to bear. Listen to this. I could have defied or dealt with any amount of mere penalty, but this spoke to my conscience as a message from God. These boys knew that they needed to be correct, and their dad would go seek the Lord, and he would come back, and he would deal with his sons. He wanted his heart and his spirit right. Listen to this. Children, parents, listen to this. We loved him all the more when we saw how much it cost him to punish us. We were ruled by love far more than by fear. It shaped John G. Payton. That principle, dads, shaped him. He goes to a heathen world who hated all white men. Wanted to kill them and cannibalize them. What do you think was already being planted in him? First by the Spirit of God and the influence of his dad. To love them. It's not an accident that that's the way he went as a 20 and 30 and whatever years of his life. He was there loving men that hated him. He understand what it meant to rule, in his case, to labor in a spirit of love and not in a spirit of intimidation. Beautiful realities to this. So men, in correction and in discipline, view it or labor towards their growth in mind. That good things will come forth. Number three, the Christian father exercises his authority over the children with care and compassion. It's a little different than the first. Encouraging is a different thing than care and compassion. Have you ever heard John Popper talk about his mom and when John was so difficult for him to speak in his classes when he was a kid growing up? Have you ever heard what his mom did with talking about the going to see the teachers or whatever? It's an amazing excerpt to hear. Because she in that case, had such care and compassion, she realized he was advancing through areas of fear. She didn't try to stymie him. She didn't try to criticize him wrongly. A father, yes, and the mothers, you're walking in your care for your children, in the case of the father, this thing of authority, with compassion, with tenderness. Matthew Henry had just a beautiful quote. I just grabbed it the other night, so I just got to read what Brother Matthew Henry has to say about some of these words. And it was about this thing of the tenderness of a father, and through the history of God's redemptive plan, tenderness and godliness is the number one way the gospel is propagated in the history of the world, through parenting. That's a statement he made, that the gospel is being preached to little Jathan, right? And to that little baby in Bethany's womb that's coming forth, because parents walk in the truth to the children. That's what he's saying. This thing of care and compassion. Jane, I'm glad you're here, because I'm going to try to tell a story very briefly, but she can help correct it later. And it's the story when you were a single woman there with Bob and Terry Jennings. And Kristen, I've replayed it a lot, but maybe I've changed it or embellished it in the wrong ways over the years. But the essence of it was Jane saying when she was there, one day Bob came back. Their house was right across from the chapel, right? Highway M Chapel. He came home, I don't know if it was lunch or dinner or what it was. And he came in, and as I remember it, Jared's little turtle had died. His pet turtle. Boy, that just doesn't sound very manly, does it? Come on. All right, so how did Bob handle that? As I remember it, sister, Bob came in and he apparently immediately had a compassion and a sensitivity to that boy's life. And I think he says something to the effect, your little turtle, your little friend died. He entered in and cared for his son in that moment. It was significant to his son, so it's significant to dad, right? It is. I mean, you get it. Everybody gets this. I mean, he didn't try to lecture him on the vanity of trying to have pets or, you know, they're all going to die. They don't have a soul, right? 15 other things we could fill in. They cost you money. They sure make messes in the house. No. As I remember it, Jane said it was a beautiful picture that's how he shepherded his son through that moment. Right? You dads and moms, we could tell stories. You could tell stories of when you experience the beauty of that. But you have to be sensitive. A father is exercising his authority, his oversight, with care and compassion. And lastly, and I'll close on this one, the Christian father walks with the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that it inspires his children. It impacts them. Dad and mom, you must, in the realities of the Christian experience, knowing Christ, loving him, loving his people, loving his truth, loving his songs, loving his glory, all those realities are just to be lived in. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about growth in grace, day after day, year after year, growing and loving supremely Jesus Christ. And that would be what your sons and daughters and my grandchildren, all of them, are going to remember the most about your life, right? In my life. He knew and he worshiped and he was devoted to Jesus Christ. That is completely against what the Roman men stood for. And it's everything that you've been set apart for as a father. Know Christ and live it out before your children. They're going to see you fail. I get that. It's real. I understand that. But you walk with Christ. You walk with Christ as you relate to your dear bride, your wife. You walk with Christ as you relate to your sons. You walk with Christ as you relate to your daughters. You walk with Christ as you walk in society out there. There's these places all around our building where I'm in Fort Worth, and it's within a mile in different places. I'm getting to know all those places. They see me coming. There's a friendship, but there's a reality that if I have my children or my grandchildren with, they would see there's relationship, there's reality living the Christian life. I saw that in my granddad's life, and it impacted me as a boy. Oh, brothers, a living faith, your faith, your living, active realities of faith impacts sons and daughters. Don't ever miss that. Live it. Be transparent in the Christian life with your children, that they will see and that the Holy Spirit will use that very thing in their lives. That they would say, I want to know and love and serve that one great Savior. God help you. So fathers and you sisters, you mothers, be strengthened today in your parenting. Be encouraged. Leave today with joy in God's Word and joy in His grace to make you a parent that impacts in such great ways your children. There's hard days, long days, frustrating days. I understand that. Been there. Still there. There's just days that are very difficult. But the kingdom of God is in what we're about with parenting. Be strengthened today. God is with you. Walk with Him. Amen. Let me pray. Father, all of us is fathers and mothers. We need you. We need such help. Lord, you know it was hard for me to even prepare. It was a humbling experience again, but it was good. It was needful. It's needful for these men, these fathers, to hear these things. It's needful for the ladies, the sisters, to hear these things. It's needful for the young people, those that aren't even married, to hear these things, that the Christian is new, that they are different, that they don't go the way of the Romans or the American culture. They go the way of Christ. They walk with you. So give them encouragement, Lord. Help the parents today with fresh grace and reality of faith in your nearness. Bring them, Lord, on today and this week for your glory and for the good of the children. Amen.